Welcome to Small Differences, recorded live in a studio without an audience, I guess.
Or without the internet in between us. The internet is on the side.
Yeah, we have packed the internet to the side. Not even connected to a computer. Just the recorder. Old school.
This is hands-free. I've taken my hands off the computer and I'm not connected to anything. Apart from the mic. I'm not connected to the mic. That would be literally shocking.
And we are talking into a SD card now. How does that feel?
Feels kind of high definition. Quite like it.
It's been... It's been 48 hours for you, I guess.
I have had some travel, fair to say. I have travelled, I don't know, actually I haven't logged the kind of the number of kilometres, but it's racking up. I went to the south of Norway to do some user research, and then I tried very hard to fly out of the south of Norway into Bergen, but it wasn't happening, so I ended up on a series of buses and trains, and I got the night train. The night train is cool.
Sounds almost like a blues song.
Getting the night train.
To get the night train to Bergen.
I've got the night... Get the night train to Bergen. And, yeah. I think someone's been there.
Was that blues, even?
Nah, it's like rock and roll. Which is almost the blues. Is this the music episode?
It isn't.
Oh. What are we going to talk about, then?
We're going to talk about... English lacks a word that we have in Norwegian. And it's perhaps too early to take the word of the week, but I think I'll do that.
Well, we're recording in daylight in the afternoon, so everything is upside down.
Yeah, and my word of the week is døgn.
I am familiar, I think.
Could you give us your... translation?
My crappy foreigner definition. I think it's a period of 24 hours.
It is.
Go me.
Is it just a period of 24 hours?
Oh. Well, that sounds like a really loaded question. it's like it's a day, right? But I don't know whether the 24 hours starts at midnight or whether it can start at any time.
It sounded like a rhetorical question, but it was... We wasn't.
I feel that a trap is being set.
I think it mostly used like 24 hours prior to the moments you refer to. So the last døgn would be the last 24 hours.
Mm. I've had two.
You have two, yeah. Mm. And I thought that perhaps this episode could deal with that. Because lots of things happened.
I guess.
In Norway.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of Norway, actually.
Quite a lot of Norway has happened to me in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, yes.
And meanwhile, we have been declared the most happy country in the world, of course.
Am I allowed to include myself in that we?
Depends how happy you are.
I'm pretty happy right now.
You try to kick out or sort of leave the ones who aren't happy outside.
Okay, I'm happy. Don't make me go.
In Norway, everyone is happy all the time.
Even when they're paying their taxes. Especially when they're paying their taxes. Taxes make people happy. Bureaucracy makes people happy, according to this piece in Aftenposten, right?
It has been suggested.
Mm.
Fun fact, the guy who suggested that bureaucracy, is the reason that Norwegians are happy. It's the same person that made the Kameloso sketch.
So he might not have been entirely serious.
We don't know. Because he has sort of turned down the comedy stuff thing and tuned into the more popular science, psychology, sociology stuff now.
And his name is?
Harald Eia.
Okay, I need to read.
You all need to read.
I need to read more.
You all need to read more. And should we perhaps? So was this surprising to you that Norway got this position in this contest, which it is?
I'm remembering when answering this that you like tension and conflict. So I'm not just going to jump straight to the end and say it's not surprising to me at all. That would kind of ruin the suspense. It wasn't surprising. It wasn't surprising in the least. So this piece, I'm sure this story has been reported elsewhere. I'm sure I've read it at least one other place. But Norway is crowned the world's happiest land. People are happy. They pay high taxes. There's proper schooling. There's proper education. There's proper welfare support for people who need it. Obviously, people are going to be happier under those circumstances than when their right-wing government is shredding everything, purely to give an abstract example.
Of course, we weren't surprised either.
Of course not.
But we were pretty pleased to sort of go past Denmark on the goal line there.
Right, Denmark had this honour previously. So is this like, screw you? Is this a piece of local rivalry? That's hard to say.
Of course, and the dynamics here are interesting because us being better than Denmark means that we are next year going to be happier.
Just by virtue of being better than Denmark, so like it's a virtuous circle, right?
Yeah. And also, you should ask yourself, what did Knut do in Denmark last weekend?
Did you sabotage their dreams of being the world's happiest country?
I can nor confirm or deny that I had anything to do with that.
Excellent. Well, I'd say it paid off. Congratulations, you are now a member of the world's happiest country.
And a happy country needs happy songs to celebrate this wonderful place.
Right. So previously on Small Differences, we have discussed national anthems, national songs, and it seems like Norway has a lot of these. So it has the national song, which is like the national anthem, right? And then it has the konge song, which is like the king's song, but like a konge song, yeah. I don't know why he gets a special song, but he does, and it turns out that that music is the British national anthem music, and this was where my head started to explode. What's happening? Whose song is this?
But to be fair, the British, the English, whatever national anthem, is kind of the king, or because of some circumstances, the queen's song.
Yeah, but it's...
It's just that you have sort of confused king monarchy with the nation.
And porridge. It's also the porridge song.
It is also the porridge song.
And there was this extra song, and I'm going to click on the wrong link now, and it's going to play music. Mellombakker og berg. Tell us about that.
I wanted to translate that, but between hills and mountains, which sounds like an Iron Maiden thing.
So it sounds like my last 48 hours, but yeah.
It was actually. Yeah. So you have the national anthem, but you also have songs dedicated to the wonderful, happy country, nation that Norway is.
No wonder you're so happy if people keep writing songs.
But we also have the national psalm, which brings God into the picture because he created Norway in his image.
It's very craggy.
Is God craggy? Image, actually.
Does he have fjords? Is it he? Does she have fjords?
Well, I guess in Norway we have a saying, "Når de lærde strides, herom strides de lærde." So
I'm almost there with you. Lærdom. Yeah.
So the learned are in conflict about this issue, or something like that. Whether God is a he or she or something in between, or nothing at all, but yeah.
Wow, are there more songs? So, if I went to a, for example, if I went to a Norway versus Sweden sports match / competition / whatever, other than more cowbell, is there a song that people might sing, like in the football in the UK? It's pretty common that people sing songs that are kind of tightly knitted with national identity.
I think I'm not big on sports, but I think Heia Norge is a song.
And what's the deal with that?
The deal is to cheer people who are Norwegians, because Norwegians are superior, especially on skis, I guess.
I'm putting in Norwegians are superior as a possible title to this, but you know
that's
that can
be a possible title for anything, you ask me.
So you know that an alternative interpretation of the word superior in English also means kind of snooty, right?
What do you mean?
Oh, look at him, he's being all superior.
Who's, who are you who to you tell me about how English works?
Who do you think you are? Coming over here, speaking our language better than we do.
So, yeah, but actually, I think there are even more national celebratory songs in the catalogue. So, yeah. But does this imply that you haven't in the UK? You just have the one and the other one by the punk dude?
Oh, the God Save the Queen. Yeah. We have songs that get wheeled out at football, but it's probably worth stressing that these are matches, football matches, where, say, England would play Scotland, and they each have a song that they like to use. So the English like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, unless they use that at the rugby. I don't know. I'm not a sports person.
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Isn't that...
Have you gone to euphemism land? Come back. Come back from euphemism land.
I thought that was...
Maybe they use that at the rugby. I don't know. I'm not a sports person.
Isn't that what we in Norway call a Negro spiritual?
Oh, probably. I'm sure we just stole it from someone. But, like, we stole them from their own country. So we have no moral high ground. Have I mentioned that before? In Scotland, people would sing... Flower of Scotland, or O Flower of Scotland, I guess, is its proper title, which is mostly about, like, the old enemy, England. And it's not a very uplifting song, but it's about having a chip on your shoulder, I guess, or it's still in use because of having a chip on our shoulder about England.
I wondered about that expression.
A chip on your shoulder.
Yeah. What kind of chip? And whose shoulder?
I think a chip of wood, and on the shoulder of the person who has carried the wood.
So not a potato chip.
Not a potato chip. No. This actually predates. This phrase predates. I know it's hard to believe, but if you go back in time far enough in history, yes, there is a time before chips, or BC as we like to refer to it.
Didn't they have chips before Christ, which isn't
chips before Christ. I think that's the same as leg before wicket.
AD, PM, AM, the thing, sometime, but not
today.
No.
Okay. But, it ties in with your word of the week.
Yeah. Now I pivoted the word of the week to døgn. I can guess have another one in lack. Because I like my cultural pick, so...
You've become, as a nation, can I just say, you've become completely unbearable since winning this award.
since yesterday.
Sure.
Now we are in a rabbit hole and I can't even get out
That's
of it.
That's okay. Sorry, it's just this bear wearing an inexplicable red t-shirt and a
flower of Scotland.
Yeah.
Who's the flower?
I think it's Scotland. It's a bit... Yeah, might be a bit self-referential. The thistle is the flower of Scotland. It's not a flower you want to pick. It will prickle you. You can
seems fitting.
Yeah,
somehow.
I know. Yeah, we're a bunch of cantankerous old. Yeah, I don't know. I think its use has been discouraged because it stirs up that kind of anti-English sentiment.
So, small difference. In Norway, we have a lot of songs dedicated to the nations.
Mm.
In Britain, you have one song, but it's used many times for many places. So how I am a professional podcaster, Chris.
This has come up one or two times before. Should that red light be on? On the mixer, or are we just bypassing that completely?
It should be on because that means that the channel is activated or armed, so that there are sound going into this channel and through the gold laced USB cable. And into my computer now, because the SD card got full like 17 minutes in the podcast episode, which were the best podcast episode we ever made.
It was like we probably put in another half an hour before we realized, right?
Yeah. So you just heard me mentioning that in Norway we have a lot of national songs, and in Britain you have... only the one, and there are some suspect noises there.
I hear them. Professional podcaster.
And I guess I don't remember what we talked about after that.
No, just burn everything.
But this is a sincere apology from the Small Differences production team. This shouldn't happen.
And yet.
We will evaluate and go through our routines.
We should have a retro to figure out what went wrong.
Yeah.
What could we have done? We did everything that we could using the information that we had at the time.
Yeah, but could we fire someone?
Oh, we should fire someone.
Someone has to leave, has to go.
I'll go, it's fine, it's probably me.
But we kind of need you for the show's premise.
We'll have to find someone afar, we'll do that after.
Are there all
heads
the
quizzes will roll
out there?
I heard someone in Norwegian say something the other day that sounded very much like the phrase heads will roll, which is a thing in English. Don't make it weird. A colleague just walked in.
Yeah, and made it weird.
Don't make it weird.
This has been quite a couple of 48 hours.
Did we get as far as explaining what your word of the week was?
I guess that came pretty early on. So yeah, okay. We just have to assume that or leave it as a mystery.
Wow, it's going to be pretty mysterious if we don't mention it. Okay. Moving on.
So it will be on the webpage.
Okay. The much abbreviated / abridged version, I guess, of my last 48 hours.
Should we abbreviate that part or just the part before?
I'm so confused.
but yeah, shout out to all the small differs, I guess.
Yeah. Sorry, I think you might have just got cut in the bit that we didn't actually record, but thank you for tweeting us and sending us things. It's cool.
So Ian from Wales.
Oh, so you pronounced it right that time.
Second try.
Nice. And Chris, who wrote to you as well. Hi, Chris. I remember you. It's nice to hear from you. Some stuff. We should draw a line under that and try and move on with the 45 minutes, whatever the hell it is that I have left. Oh my god.
So this episode is about your travels, your journey and adventure in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Nowhere in Norway.
So, as either a reward or punishment, depending on your perspective, I was sent into far away from cities in Norway to very small places to conduct some user research, which was really cool. And I got to spend a little bit of time being locked out of a hotel at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, which was kind of fun, but not worrying in any way, actually. I didn't, at no point did I think I'm not safe here. And I'm sure that speaks a lot about Norway as a country generally, that one can just walk around and feel safe.
Would you feel unsafe in the middle of nowhere in Britain?
Not necessarily. If it was the US, I think I would feel more uneasy. Not because people don't have guns here, for example, but because...
people have guns here, you know that?
Oh, I do know that people have guns here. Hunting, shooting and fishing is like a whole thing, right? Yeah. And the fact that like basically the national sport is just like skiing and shooting, right? So... So I got to experience winter again, because in Oslo the spring has mostly arrived, even though it snowed on Sunday, and then it snowed a little bit while I was down in the south and there was loads of snow and ice around. So despite my kind of initial impression that this going south would mean that it was perhaps going to be warmer, this did not happen. The south of Norway is a large landmass and it holds a lot of cold, and I was inland. And then the next day I got to go to, the British equivalent would probably be a sixth form college, but it's probably more complicated than that, where young people between the ages of, I guess, 15 and 18-ish go to kind of acquire qualifications, and the kinds of things that these people are studying are things like, I guess, land use and agriculture and... forestry perhaps, and health and sort of reproductive health or nursing type subjects as well, and sport and various things. So kind of what in the UK would be called vocational subjects, so less academic maybe, although with like clearly with an academic curriculum as well. I grew up in a town city that's like 500,000 people. I'd never really lived anywhere smaller than that, so it was quite interesting. I've been to places that are smaller than that, but it was quite interesting to go to, I'm not even going to call this a town because it was not a town. I went to this college that was a few buildings and not very much else, kind of in the middle of nowhere, and everyone pretty much had to drive to get there. I think there's one bus that brings the students and takes them away again. And it's just this sort of collection of traditional wooden buildings, and they're mostly quite small and they have a few rooms, and those are used, I guess, by different departments to teach. So it's very rural. And now I'm wondering whether this is a bit like your education when you were growing up here.
Somewhat, I guess. So the kind of children's school I went to, which would be not primary school, perhaps.
Mm? How old were you?
7 to 12.
You only started when you were 7?
Yeah, I did, actually.
That's really interesting. In the UK, you would start at 4 or 5.
Well, we have preschool, of course, and I went to preschool. But in the days of yore, we started school at 7.
Mm.
But now they start school at 6.
Mm. Doesn't seem to have held you back at all.
You tell me. I almost got a PhD degree. Had I started at 6.
It's not done. It's not over.
No, it's very much not done.
No, I mean, it's not over. The case is not closed.
That's true. But, yeah. So, No, I don't think so. I got to play more, to be out in the woods and build huts. And
are you just playing this up for a non-Norwegian audience?
What?
Or was it really that kind of rural and idyllic?
Well, the time spent from 6 to 7 was kind of like that, being outside playing.
Hmm. I noticed that there's a lot of outdoor playtime even in the winter here when kids are going to, you know, like kids in the barnehage or like in kindergarten, basically. There's still a point every day, a couple of points every day where everyone comes outside for at least half an hour and plays, even if it's like really, really cold. All the kids have onesies on. It's cute.
And that's the recipe for being the happiest country in the world.
Is onesies.
Or being outside a lot when you are young, so that you can be inside when you are answering this kind of service.
I read a thing from either Sweden or Finland where they just put babies outside for like 2 hours for a nap.
We have discussed this in a previous episode.
Then
actually.
I won't revisit it, forgive me.
We should never repeat ourselves.
You're right, we should never repeat ourselves. So, yes, so I got to go to this place and sit and chat with teenagers who were pretty much like teenagers anywhere else.
That's disappointing.
What do you expect? They're teenagers. They're enthralled to their hormones. They're having a very confusing time. Some of them.
Of course, but confusion could be experienced or expressed differently.
I guess.
Depending on your cultural context.
I didn't really notice anything very different. I used to teach people who were kind of at the back end of teenage years, and they struck me as very similar. But it was really interesting to be in an educational kind of establishment, I guess, that was like very far from everywhere and kind of superficially very rural. So really lovely, beautiful, traditional wooden Norwegian houses, painted various colours and kind of surrounded by everywhere is trees. And to get back from it, we drove for like an hour and it was just a road and some trees and not very much traffic. So it was really in the middle of nowhere. And then the fog came.
You're moving fast now.
Well, I want to skip over the bit where it's kind of confidential and we talk about like what we learn from young people.
Well, we don't have to talk about the specifics of the project, but we could talk about, for example... Well, you say that they are pretty much as teenagers anywhere, but how was it to... You interacted with them, right? You talked with them?
I did speak with them. They understood me mostly, I would say, which was good, because I go up and down with confidence in how I sound in Norwegian, and they were understandable. They didn't have very strong accents. I was really wondering what the accent was going to be like and the dialect and whether I would struggle with that. Not in the least. I don't know if that is about the part of the country that I went to or something else. Your boss is from near there, but I'm not sure he sounds like he's from near there. It's hard to tell.
No, not especially.
I think he's either dropped the accent or never really had it.
Something like that, yeah.
I'm not sure there's much else to say about that.
I guess it's a bit unfair of me to expect you as this lay anthropologist mapping out all the peculiar facets that makes us distinct. But
I ate a waffle with brown cheese as part of
that's
my...
That's true. You went native.
Yeah, I did. I had a layover to wait for a bus and I had a coffee and a waffle with brown cheese and some smågodt. Or lørdagsgodt, just to make sure, you know, like a Norwegian pick and mix. So I didn't threaten anyone. I'm trying to blend in. Yeah, I rode in a bus with real Norwegians. It was unremarkable.
Did you get a seat for yourself?
I did get a seat for my... Oh, no, you mean like two seats?
Yeah.
No, I had to share. It was busy. But it wasn't a drama. There was no huffing, as you might have got in the UK. Well, you know, like if you're on a bus where there are no double seats free and so you know you're going to have to sit with someone and everyone's like making themselves look big so that you're not going to sit next to them. And,
they have to make themselves look big.
You mean
They aren't.
Where are you going with this?
I don't want to.
Are you calling my country fat?
Yeah.
We need to get on the statistics.
But it is relative, though, because you aren't the fattest country.
We're not.
I believe. Well, I don't know. I don't have the data.
I'm pretty sure the fattest countries are actually kind of Togo and places like that. I think there's a lot.
Saudi Arabia also are kind of fat.
Really? Are they up there in the league tables?
Are we the podcast to call countries fat?
I'm not sure we should do that.
Is that a privilege that comes with being the happiest country in the world?
Fitter, happier, more productive.
20 years.
20 years what? Since that album?
Yeah.
Oh, don't. I feel so old. I felt so old when you were talking about being like 13 and a moody teenager and listening to Kid A. I was just like, oh, kill me.
Well, listening to Kid A, I guess that's...
That, yeah, kill
in
me.
Denmark,
yeah.
Even.
Oh, God.
Not the happiest country in the world.
Well, they're all listening to Radiohead now to just kind of, you know, wallow in their discomfort and misery, I guess. I had a semi-bad customer experience.
Oh, exciting.
which you love, clearly. Thank you for the customer schadenfreude that you're exhibiting here. The TLDR on that was that it got very foggy at an airport, and this is, I don't think, the first time this has happened, but they dealt with it as though it was the first time it had happened.
So I guess I suspect that Norwegian entrepreneurs has this secret mission to save the climate or something, because they keep building airports in the most foggy places.
So they can't fly anything.
Yeah.
It's just part of a cunning plan.
Yeah.
To save the environment by putting up lots of concrete buildings that obviously have no environmental footprint whatsoever.
Don't you know that Norwegian airports are made of wood?
Aren't they good?
And whales. And brown cheese. Yeah. It's kind of these cargo cult airports, Norwegian style.
Well, that is the origin, I guess, of the whole cargo cult mentality, right? It's about airdrops and airstrips. So we've come home in a weird way. The shitty budget third class airport experience is exactly the same in Norway as it is in the UK. I won't name names. I'm sure everyone knows which ones I mean.
The kind of airports that Ryanair use?
For instance, yes, if we're going to slander someone, let's slander Ryanair. No one seems to like them. So I had to make other plans. The other plans involved either you can take a flight tomorrow, which was not okay, because I had a lot to do here today, or screw you can get your money back. And I went for the screw you can get your money back, and I booked myself a seat on the night train.
A seat or...?
Well... Not a seat, a bed, an actual bed.
Well, a bed or?
Bunk beds.
Yeah.
I could have gone on the upper one, I didn't. I thought about it. It seemed prudent to just lie on the bottom one. Yeah, so you can get a night train from Oslo to Bergen, which takes about 7 hours.
Yeah, something like that.
And I actually got on it slightly, I went a slightly different route and had to change because of where I was starting off. But it's the sleeper train, and you get this berth, and it's two bunk beds in a little room. It's tiny, but there's enough room, and there's a sink, and you know, you get a mirror and somewhere to hang your coat. And when you get into the train, like, it's all kind of, you know, nice fresh bed linen and stuff like that on the bunk beds, and there's two little chocolates sitting there waiting for you, and a leaflet about where you can go and get like shower and breakfast in Bergen when you get there. And the route is really nice, and I actually would like to do it in the daytime now that it's getting to be more like summer, because it's just beautiful. It's just basically tunnels and mountains all the way, as far as I can tell. And it just looks completely delightful. But I went the at night, it's dark, so sleep route. It's quite interesting. It's been a while since I've done this, probably like a good 25 years since I've travelled at night in a bed on a train. It's weird travelling with your body perpendicular to the direction of travel. Like, if I was going to choose how to sleep in a train, I would choose to have either my head or my feet towards the front. But that's not how this works. You're traveling sideways. So it means that you kind of get shaken gently from side to side, because the kind of the way that trains work, right, is yes, they accelerate and decelerate, so there's a little bit of kind of forward and back, but predominantly what's happening to a train when it's traveling forward is that it's kind of shaking from side to side. So you've got this kind of little rocking movement.
That come off a bit like transplaining.
Sorry, was I transplaining? To anyone who's never slept, to all the people who've slept in train before and know what this is like, I am sorry. I'm sorry that I tracksplained or trainsplained or night trainsplained. But it's really nice.
It is nice.
You get, after a while, you get used to the rocking and you relax into it and you just let this train rock you to sleep, and it's delightful. And it's clean and it's not quiet. It's not quiet. There's all these train noises going on the whole time.
You did get earplugs.
I hate earplugs. I don't like sleeping with them in. I sleep on my side also, so it's kind of rubbish.
Mm.
I can't wear earplugs for any length of time. So I live with the noise, but it was all right. It's fine.
It's almost like a boat.
Yes. It's exactly like that.
Somewhat similar to that, yeah.
Very kind of hypnotic after a while. Very, very pleasant. And then at sort of 6:15 or whatever, I was awake anyway, but they sort of announced that they will be arriving in Bergen in a little while, and that you have to be out of the train by whatever time because it's got to go somewhere else. But it's nice that they give you extra time after the train gets into the station, so if you only just kind of wake up when the train gets there, you have a little time to collect yourself and get out. It's really civilized. Mm. I will be doing this again, I feel.
I think that's the key word, because traveling but by train it feels more civilized.
It can. I'm sorry, have you ever been on a train in the UK? Civilized is not a word that gets used very often.
I guess you're right. But in this particular setting, it feels way more civilized compared to traveling by plane.
Right.
Between Oslo and Bergen.
Well, there's no security theater. And you just walk along and you get your ticket from the guy in the restaurant.
And he's friendly.
He's nice.
He even made a joke last time, because I had some skis with me, of course.
Of course.
He made a joke that I probably could... It was probably not prepared for skiing on the train or something like that. It didn't translate well, I guess, but...
Cute. Yeah, so you rumble along and you get your room key, your little key card. The key card is funny. The key card is like a really old school punch card type thing made out of cardboard. I took a picture. It's great. It's old school. But yeah, it was delightful. I don't know why more people don't do it. I guess not everyone can sleep on a train.
And I guess before, because now you get your own sort of coupe. But before you had to share this bunk bed with someone.
To qualify that, they're on the top and you're on the bottom, or the other way around.
Like, yeah, the bunk bed.
Yeah. There's no more sharing than that. It's not like two of you wedged into like half a bunk bed.
but I guess they had to make other arrangements.
Mm.
That's some time, but I don't think it was that long ago.
Right. So did you ever take this service and end up like sharing it with someone who just snored or was antisocial or
no?
Not ever.
But the first time I took the night train to Oslo, I didn't have a bed, and that's not recommended.
And that was all. The last time you tried doing that, right? Okay. Did you sleep at all?
No.
What were you like the next day?
Rubbish.
Oh. I don't think I have anything to add experientially after that, other than the general sense of being really tired after the last 2 days. But that's perhaps to be expected given the amount of sleep that I've had. I did not get like a full night's sleep. I got 3/4 of a full night's sleep on the night train, but I feel I can improve on this. I'm informed that there is a special kind of beer that is brewed for the railway that one can get in the restaurant car, and I may have a go at that next time. Apparently it's recommended. I should have done it last night, but I was so tired I didn't want to. But now I regret it. I could have slept better.
Yeah, I think I would recommend a night bear on the night train.
Night bear or night beer?
Is this that kind of podcast?
I'm just yanking your emergency cord. It's fine.
But evening being a citizen of the most happiest country in the world, I must admit I'm a bit disappointed that didn't you encounter any trolls or porridge or something?
Something slightly mythological.
Yeah.
We went through a lot of tunnels. There might have been trolls. It was dark and I was asleep most of the time. I'll tell you what was lovely, actually, was waking up. I deliberately got up a little bit early this morning so I could see all the mountains after it got light, so I could kind of see us come through all the mountains, and there were all these streams and these beautiful houses, and there was some snow on the top of the mountains. And that was really charming. So that's as good as I've got for you. I got no trolls, but I did get some snow and some mountains. That was nice. And oh my God, the tunnels. I know I probably mention this every other episode, but Norwegians are just crazy for drilling tunnels through mountains. When will the madness end?
Yeah, quite a lot of mountains, and
that's certainly true.
I guess a mountain could contain also many tunnels,
and the tunnels could contain many trolls.
Yeah,
and the trolls could contain many people who'd been eaten.
Ah, now I have the cultural pick of the week. By the way,
do it.
I guess we are in the section. We're still recording.
Theoretically.
Yeah. I don't think we have perhaps mentioned this earlier, but my cultural pick of the week is the movie Troll Hunter. Have you seen it?
I have. What a great movie.
Somewhat fitting to today's episode.
Yeah, nice.
Because it will take you into the mountains, into the middle of nowhere in Norway, and let you in on the Norwegian troll hunting business.
Can you say a little bit about this for people who have not seen the movie, without spoiling it necessarily?
I guess it's somewhat on the tin, but... I don't think I should say so much about it, actually.
Okay. My favorite.
It's a documentary, of course.
It is a documentary, yeah. Yes, about troll hunting in Norway with trolls, yeah.
And Norwegians,
yes. Who reveal their very dry sense of humor at certain points. My favorite bit is the bit to do with electricity, which is just complete genius. I really enjoyed watching the movie. You should definitely watch it. I think it's on Netflix.
Perhaps this week, the next week, I don't know, but Netflix, it's hard to say.
Just remembered that I got an email from Get that we're going to have HBO Nordic as of April.
Yeah, what do you think about Get now?
Well, obviously they listened to the show and they wanted to sweeten it. It's got nothing to do with the fact that all my other colleagues who are with Get.
I suspect, actually, that Get is owned by some Danish people and they want to make our country miserable.
With HBO Nordic.
That move I didn't see coming, but well, with all the other stuff.
Mm.
Well, perhaps they will wave HBO Nordic in front of you and you will try to use it.
And then. And the paywall will come forth.
Or the loss of internet or the broadband limits or something. They'll get you eventually.
To be continued. Shall I do my cultural pick of the week?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Because I read your cultural pick of the week.
Right. So I had a friend, my oldest friend, visited us at the weekend. And we
oldest friend as in an old friend?
Good question.
Or
we have known each other for the longest.
Okay.
Of anyone. I had an oldest friend and then she died and that was quite sad.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That wasn't like a how dare you. That was merely like, yeah, it was kind of a recognition of the fact that that's what happens when you have all these friends, is that they die. Yeah. Sorry to everyone who's like over that, whatever, that kind of mortality line. I don't know where it is, but, you know, sorry in advance. Yeah, so we said, what do you want to do? My husband had an idea that he would like and thought she would quite like, which is to go to a spa. And there's a really nice one outside Oslo, and one of my colleagues had already been to it and recommended it. So we went for the better part of a day, not a whole day. I'm not a spa person. I really like a sauna. I am ambivalent about spending a big chunk of the day in a body of water. But this...
Well, you can never live in Bergen then.
I don't mind if it's flowing from the sky. It's more kind of just like in a pool. Hi, I'm in a pool. It's 2 hours later. I'm still in the pool. My fingers have turned to prunes. It just, you know, it doesn't. I don't hate it. It just doesn't do anything for me in the way that it clearly does something for other people. But I do like a sauna. So we went to this spa, and because it's Norway. So I think occasionally in the UK you might get spas where, like, on a Tuesday, it's like, if you want to, you can go naked. But I would say that's probably the exception, and it's not typical. And in a spa in the UK, it would be pretty much the rule that you, in fact, have to have something on you all the time. And because this is Norway, at this spa, it was like, on a Tuesday, you have to wear a bathing suit. The rest of the week, you can do what you like. You're looking surprised.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the spa rules.
Well, I'm sure they vary, but, you know, this is how we do it downtown, baby. This is the Oslo experience. And I'm cool with that. I'm very comfortable with other people's nakedness. Perhaps less so with my own. I am British. But you know, like, if people want to let it hang out, totally cool with that. Literally and metaphorically. And... in addition, all the saunas and steam rooms, you've got to be naked. But you can't, like, they don't want you putting your bits on the wood. This is going wrong. so you have to have a towel
on your shoulder, uh-huh. Not your bit on a wood.
Yeah, I think that bit was the bit we didn't record. but yeah, you've got to sit in a towel, obviously. And in fact, they sell these kind of wrap things, that are these sort of, I guess, Middle Eastern sort of wraps that you can have on you if you want something on you, if you want to be covered, but you don't want to be wearing a towel, which is quite warm in the sauna after a while.
Like a tortilla wrap or...
the other kind. The kind that if you wear them and you're a man, you're like secure in your own sexuality, kind of, you know.
Are those wraps exist?
I don't know. do those men exist?
Indeed.
Yeah. But you can't, it's not enough. These are quite thin, and so it's not enough to sit on those. And so I watched two people get very politely told off for not sitting on a proper towel in a sauna. But they were only sitting on one of these wraps, which was apparently insufficient.
They were told off?
Well, not told off. It's just, you know, the rule is that you have to sit on a towel, that these things are not thin enough to keep all the sweat off the bench.
So what happened? Did someone come in?
Yeah, someone came in and just said, you know, like a person who worked there just sort of came in and said...
The person who persons who worked there, were they also naked?
Nah, they were wearing like a t-shirt and shorts. Hmm. I don't know if that's an authority thing. My husband was wondering what happens if you work there, like if you go for a job interview at this spa, and they're like, "So you do know everyone's going to be naked a lot of the time, right? And you're cool with that, okay? Yeah. I wonder if that's the thing people ask in the interviews, like, and do I have to be naked to work here? No, but it helps. There's a sign on the wall. It was very pleasant. The best thing was this sauna that was far away from the rest of all the things and very quiet. And it only had a few people in it, and daylight came in and there were trees outside. So you could see birch trees and fir trees, and it was just beautiful and peaceful and really hot. And then you got out and you got into a pool of 10 degree water. It was amazing.
And then you shrunk.
And I physically shrank in every regard. It was brilliant. Like, the being in the pool was hard. Like, you could do two laps of this pool, and then you're like, I'm going to die. I have to get out. but when you got out, your skin was on fire. It was extraordinary. I would go back for that. I would not even bother with the rest of the experience. I would just go back and do that for an afternoon, and I would feel like the best person in the world. It was genuinely good. Everything else I can take or leave. The other thing about this. So it's a spa, right? Like, their whole shtick is about being healthy and about this is good for you. And you should come and be kind of in the middle of nature and with all these chilled out people in their chilled out cult robes. They give you robes and towels, right? And you get in and slippers, and everyone else has got the same robes and towels and slippers. And you get in and you're like, I think we've just joined a cult because everyone is dressed the same.
We're chanting.
There was a ritual. I went back to that sauna that I really liked because there's several around the place. And I went back to that and it was like there was a sign at the door that said, ritual in progress, please wait here. And I was like, what are you actually doing? Is this really a ritual or is this just some Finnish guy whizzing a towel around? You know, it's hard to say. But yeah, like it's supposed to be this really kind of healthy environment, right? And then you get there and there's like a proper restaurant that you can book a table at. And we didn't want to do that because the time that they could give us a table was kind of in the middle of the afternoon. But there's a snack bar. And I thought, oh, there'd be like, you know, raw vegetables and like smoothies and stuff like that. No, muffins, peanuts, beer. What the hell? Is this a Norwegian thing? It's like, well, we can have a health spa, but we should like just tone it down a little bit. We shouldn't make it too healthy or people won't come.
You ask me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
It's all about the hygge. Broccoli isn't hygge.
Huh. But...
How do you think we became the happiest country in the world?
Beer?
It's not by eating asparagus. And
it's by taxing people like 500% on beer.
I got to drink beer and pay taxes. What could be better?
Reversing the ratio, I think, of the beer and taxes, maybe. That would make it better. But then you wouldn't have any healthcare or social security or, I guess. So that was interesting. It felt like a very Norwegian experience. I got to be in a sauna and look outside and see trees, and I got to go in a very cold body of water.
Well, except for the nakedness, it's kind of weird. But then I'm very not insecure, but unsure about Norwegian nakedness.
Say more.
I think we were more relaxed about it before, but now even in this, so when I grew up, we had this, so we shared showers, or the shower room, right? Yeah, after doing gymnastics and stuff.
At school.
Yeah. Mm. And there were no sort of dividers between them or anything.
Wait, like you mean between the boys and girls or between like you and everyone
well,
else?
Well, the
boys
and girls were separated.
Okay, just checking.
But it was this room and there were shower heads and yeah.
Not a drama.
But... Then they introduced sort of these dividers, and now I think many pupils, they'll shower when they get home or something like that. They'll sort of skip the shower a bit.
What do you think happened?
The media, man. The commercial, the pressure. I don't know.
As opposed to the water pressure.
That was a really dry one. But,
did someone introduce a sense of body shame to Norway?
I suspect someone. Well, someone would blame the Muslims, but I don't think that's fair.
No.
So, yeah.
Wow. So, this is fascinating. Because, like, compared to the UK, this is a country of people who are really pretty chilled about being topless or just straight up naked in public.
And I'm sorry, but... Oh, I can't say that.
What were you going to say? What were you going to say?
Well, perhaps a bit more shame would be appropriate.
You want to shame people for being naked?
No, don't want, but...
Don't say more. No, you don't get away with half a thing. Come on, come on. Let's have it.
Welcome. perhaps we should align the shame or sort of spread it out more evenly.
So that...
What I'm trying to say that... this is a message from the world to the UK. Perhaps a touch bit less nakedness could be a thing.
You think the UK should be nakedless? The UK is
less naked.
Yeah. The UK is almost never naked. Or is it that you've got naked people coming over here from the UK that you don't like? We're very uptight about public
this
nakedness generally.
I've painted myself into.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fascinated. What's happening here?
I don't know. I just had a Heineken.
On an empty stomach.
Warm Heineken in that stomach.
It was pretty warm. I think on the whole, I was pleasantly surprised by the whole... I wasn't shocked by Norwegians being naked in spas. And most people, to be fair, most people had bathing costumes on in the places where it was optional to do that. And lots of people were just like casually naked in the sauna. Not making a big deal out of it, but not like hiding themselves in a towel. I would say that's healthy. It felt like a kind of healthy body attitude. I'd much rather have that than people kind of cringing in a corner.
A spa where everyone were cringing in the corner.
I see you've been to the UK. No, to be fair, I've never been to a spa in the UK. I have full disclosure, this is my first proper quote-unquote spa experience. So I have nothing to compare it to. But apparently it's very nice.
Word of the week. Well, so I did my homework. I prepared it's not strictly a word. It's more a postfix, I guess, or something.
Suffix.
Could you say postfix?
I think that means something else. I think that means the thing that you tack on after the thing has already been fixed.
Nerd.
It's like a patch. Patch. You're calling me a nerd? Really?
Takes one to know one, I guess.
Touché.
So I don't think it's even Norwegian. Well, it isn't, but...
It gets used a lot.
Yeah.
What's your word?
I think we could put it in the fun fact category of things that somewhat doesn't belong in Norwegian language, but still do. And it's ish.
And
as a suffix.
What does it ish. Mean? Can you give me an example?
Well, it means the thing I say all the time, sort of, right? Or kind of, or almost, or something.
Mm.
It's from English, so
right.
Yeah, I don't have to explain it. But
you use it in Norwegian. You speak Norwegian, and then after a pause, you kind of say ish.
Yeah, but you tack it on the word, right? So I could say kanskje ish.
Would you really say that?
Why did you laugh now?
Because kanskje is maybe, so like it's the most kind. So it's the most kind of heavily footnoted, heavily annotated qualification of a thing.
It's a sort of maybe, but I'm not sure about the maybe.
Yeah.
It should be certainly.
So you've expressed some uncertainty and then you're just modifying it with even more uncertainty. Welcome to Norway, the land of relativism. And I'm...
Well, something isn't relative, though. The fact that we are the happiest country in the world.
Relative to other countries, I think you'll find. It's entirely relative.
Mm. Your word is exciting.
My word came out. I went out with some colleagues.
How did it came out?
I went out with some colleagues to wish a couple of our colleagues who were leaving goodbye, and we played some shuffleboard. And I think it came out because I asked about what's the Norwegian for getting your ass handed to you. And now I have to look up the word that I got, which is not my word of the week. But I was like, what's a good Norwegian phrase for that? This word came out in the context of that conversation. Ravshirt, which I think is probably getting reamed, but I'm not really sure. That's how it comes across.
Yeah, no, I wonder.
Okay.
I'm not sure I should Google this.
I'm not sure you should either. At least get off work Wi-Fi before you do it, maybe.
Well, we are going to Sodoma. And, well, so at Av Church, what does... now my boss is looking at me. This makes it harder.
Well, hi, Knut's boss. Everyone say hi.
Don't mind me.
I was just in the midst of explaining what Rav Church means.
We can move on. That was not my word.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
The word is Rav Krok, which is a thing.
It's a sport.
It's a sport. It's like the leg equivalent of thumb wrestling or arm wrestling, right? And I did not know this was a thing. And so my colleagues, in encouraging me to find out about this, found pictures and video online. And there's actually people having serious competitions of this online. Like, you can see people doing this. And they kind of lie on their backs with the bums kind of almost together. And then they put their legs in the air. And the option, the thing that you've got to try and do is flip your partner over by hooking your legs behind their legs.
So I'm looking at Wikipedia. And we have a Norwegian... very short page about Rav Krok.
Mm.
It isn't translated, though.
Okay.
We have some GSM signals tapping into the podcast. But it isn't translated. If you were to translate it directly, what would it be?
I'm not even looking at it right now. I should be. I'm not finding it, which is weird. Am I spelling it wrong?
So it consists of two words, rav, which we have sort of elaborated on. It means bum, arse,
crack.
Bottom. Yeah, you know. Krok. Do you know that one?
It's a hook, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
So
like a shepherd's
bum
crook
hooking.
In English. That manages to be even funnier in English. Yeah.
And if you are a winner of a bum hooking, if you are the winner of a bum hooking competition, you will be Captain Bumhook.
Oh, breathe.
Yeah, threading dangerous territory. But yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to edit this episode pretty heavily.
You have to, yeah. Did you try it?
No, not yet.
So this is, fun fact, this is a huge activity in the Norwegian scout movement. yeah.
Well, why there? Now I'm wondering if Baden Powell is a euphemism. Now you're wondering
always
if you've
prepared.
Got any more beer. Indeed. Be prepared. Anything could happen. I'm fascinated that this was a thing. Is a thing.
I don't think you should combine your cultural pick of the week with your word of the week, by the way.
No, I agree. And yeah, if there's naked Rav Krok, I don't want to know about it. Do not send pictures. Do not send links.
But yeah. So Wikipedia is sort of grouping this activity up with sekkeløp and blinde fotball. Which would be sack leaping and blind football.
Is the sack leaping, is that like when you you get into a sack and you hold it and you jump and you try and go as fast as you can?
I think that is the British version. Mm. In Norway, we just go into the sack and throw ourselves out in the water.
As long as it's not made of plastic. And do you listen to black metal while you're doing this?
Yeah, and... And if you're lucky, you will get eaten by a whale. And strand on a Norwegian west coast shore and be a national tragedy.
I'm reading the Wikipedia Rav Krok page, which is, I think, the shortest Wikipedia page I've ever read.
It's categorized under, I guess, play. Mm. And
Brytelek. I was wondering, like, what kinds of games are those?
And wrestling.
Hmm. I think this is so short, this page, that we can actually just translate it in the kind of the quote bit of the link on the site with the show notes.
I don't know how Wikipedia works, but could we translate this page into English and get away with it?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Someone will only edit it back like 5 minutes later. But someone's very protective.
We will have
the
screenshot. Yes. So, apropos. I think we and all our small differs should try to keep this Wikipedia page. Keep it in the English Wikipedia translation.
Okay, we'll try and get on that.
And we have not addressed the carrot challenge. Because we have a listener who sent us a video about this French guy. And he tried to slice a carrot. Of course, you have been to a spa and you haven't followed Twitter at all.
I have been very much off the grid for the last few days.
So I guess we have to address that next time. But, spoiler warning, he didn't hit. We still have the record. Or, that is, I still have the record, yes.
And you're from Norway, the best country in the world, where we peel a carrot faster than anyone else, yes. Happiest country in the world. Not the best, necessarily.
Who is the best country in the world?
It's probably Norway.
It probably is.
We should talk about where people can actually find all these mythical show notes. If you go to smalldifferences.fireside.fm, you will be able to see all the episodes and all of the mad stuff that we have mentioned in this and previous episodes. We will link to it where possible. We'll translate it where possible. We leave no stone unturned. You can even watch the carrot peeling videos that we made for the last episode if you haven't seen those. And I think you should.
And so much for the first live episode of Small Differences. Without a... Well, we had some audience during the...
Briefly. Yeah. Two of your colleagues.
They just turned and went back out of the room.
I think we should work up to doing this with a live audience, possibly the swearing episode.
Yeah, we should have the swearing episode live.
I think so. Next trip?
Next trip.
All right.
So, yeah. Takk for at du hørte på.
Takk for at du hørte på. Ha det bra.
Ha det bra.